So the moment has arrived, an historic moment. My name is Larry Cox. I serve as the executive director of the Poor People's Campaign, National Call for Moral Revival. And I want to welcome all of you to be here for this press briefing, the first of many press briefings of this historic movement. And now I want to introduce Roz Pelliss, who is the strategic director of the Poor People's Campaign, National Call for Moral Revival, who will introduce the next.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we happy to be here this morning? Campaign, but the work is just not starting today.
That's right.
We've all, many folks in this room have been working for months to get to this day, and we're so happy to be here. What we do want to do is to show a video of all the work that's happened all over this country. I think we're going to show that video.
Yes, we are.
Here is a fire raging now for the poor of this society. They are living in tragic conditions because of the terrible economic injustices that keep them locked in.
We have to deal with our war economy. And systemic racism and systemic poverty and ecological devastation. And finally, we have to deal with the moral narrative.
We are traveling around this country building this Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival.
What we want to do now is hear a little bit from the local community who are a part of this campaign.
I've spent 5 years, five or so more years homeless.
Living on minimum wage has caused me to have to figure out on a daily basis how to afford basic necessities.
While the U.S. sends trillions abroad, my friends, family, and fellow veterans suffer the economic consequences of the war economy.
I have two children, and I enjoy raising them while acknowledging that being poor is a struggle of human rights.
But when I lost my housing, healthcare and income all at the same time, I was terrified, panicked.
I want to stand here and reclaim the power and dignity of the chaos in my life.
I can't afford to be a cop.
It was one thing to know that you didn't have water and you couldn't afford your water. It's a whole nother to find out that they shut off your entire community and none of you matter.
And in the aftermath of climate change, the
disasters, poor people and people of color are the ones to lose their homes.
Who can survive the 1725?
No marriage in America should have to marry after production for lack of military expansion.
Being poor is not a sin. Poverty is a sin. Being homeless is not a sin. Homelessness is a sin.
For a season of moral resistance, a season of organizing, a season of nonviolent, massive civil disobedience.
There will be a movement that will break through the con and cut through the lies and bring people together to save the heart and the soul of this democracy and this world.
And now I have the great honor and privilege and pleasure to introduce two of the most prophetic and powerful voices of our time, who are the co-chairs of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, Reverend Dr. Liz Teo Harris and Reverend Dr. William Barber II.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are here to say that the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival's time has come. This campaign has developed out of years and years of organizing coming from poor communities throughout the United States. From the tens of thousands of families whose water has been shut off in Detroit, to those whose family members have died because of the lack of health care and Medicaid expansion in Vermont, in Pennsylvania, in North Carolina, in Alabama, all over this country, to the thousands of immigrants crying out for hugs, not walls, at the U.S.-Mexico border. To families living in raw sewage with tropical diseases that had been eradicated decades ago, reemerging in Lowndes County, Alabama, and many rural communities across this country. To the hundreds of thousands of people whose votes have been suppressed because of racist gerrymandering. Yeah. The ending of early voting and same-day registration, the closing of polling places in poor communities and in communities of people of color, from homeless encampments under attack by our own police and by militias in Washington State, in Oregon, in Colorado, in California, in New Jersey, in New York, and all over this country. We have heard the cry. We want to be free. We need a Poor People's Campaign. We need a moral revival to make this country great for so many for whom it has not yet been. Indeed, there is a moral movement afoot in this country with poor people and clergy in the lead. We know that from history, when those most impacted by injustice band together with moral leaders, clergy, activists, all people of conscience, that is when we can make a change. That is when our country gets better for everyone, not just a select few.
That's right.
Consider these facts. 43.5% of Americans are poor or low income. 51% of children live in poverty and in homes that do not have enough food in the richest country in the world. We have fewer voting protections today than we did 52 years ago.
All right, teach.
The United States spends $630 billion each year for the military, but only $183 billion for education and jobs and health care and housing and other basic human needs. And just this year alone, 9 million deaths have been caused by pollution, more than any other source of death. 4 million American families are exposed to unsafe drinking water this very morning. And then this new tax bill.
Yes.
It will add $1.4 trillion to the national debt, setting the stage for cuts to programs that help the poor, that help everyone. In the short term, that will mean automatic cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. In the long term, this tax plan lays the groundwork for massive cuts to Social Security and other programs that sustain the poor, the elderly, and the most vulnerable among us. And at the same time as they are giving more to people who already have so much, they are tearing apart families, threatening to deport 1 million more people. In legislation that is up for discussion this week, we need a poor people's campaign, a national call for moral revival. We need change. We need a season of moral direct action and nonviolent civil disobedience. We need grassroots organizing, voter registration, and power building around a moral agenda. We need to shift the distorted moral narrative often promoted by religious extremists in our nation from personal issues like prayer in the school, abortion, sexuality, gun rights, property rights, to systemic injustices, like how our society should treat the poor, those on the margins, the least of these, women, children, workers, immigrants, the sick. It should be talking about equality and equal representation under the law and our desire for peace, love, and harmony within and among nations. The violent and immoral acts of many of our politicians and even our so-called religious leaders, including the tax bill, the proposed health care cuts, the suppression of votes and of wages, they fly in the face of our greatest sacred teachings. Such politicians, many of them self-described Christians, ignore the majority of the passages from the Bible that speak to justice and the common good. Passages like, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs shall be the kingdom of God." No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money.
That's right.
Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Indeed, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible proclaims justice and prosperity for the poor. The Exodus is a founding story of God being on the side of the poor and the oppressed.
That's right.
The Deuteronomy Code offers commandments on how to care for your neighbor is how you honor and worship God. The prophets denounce oppressing the poor and the marginalized. The Gospels proclaim bringing good news to the poor. And what is good news but the ending of poverty and racism? As we launch the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival today, we are serving notice that we will not remain silent while the basic institutions of our democracy are undermined. We are planning for a season of sustained moral action. We are calling for one of the largest waves of nonviolent civil disobedience in U.S. history. This campaign is from the bottom up.
Bottom up.
We are focusing on building power in states across the country. The 40 days of moral action will take place in state houses across the country and here in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And that will just be the beginning. Next spring, we launch a movement, not a moment. And this movement will change the direction of this country. It will change the course of history. It will demonstrate the power of the poor and moral leaders to right the wrongs of our society. It will show that when the poor and dispossessed people, with clergy and advocates and all people of conscience, come together, we will be a new and unsettling force in our complacent national life. It will show that someone is hurting our nation, and it has gone on far too long, and we won't be silent anymore.
Amen. Amen.
And now I have the distinct honor of introducing the other co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign and National Call for Moral Revival, a true moral leader in our nation, the Reverend Dr. William J. Barber II.
There is no such thing as a movement that does not have a central core of leaders. Well, servants, should I say. So I want to ask, before I make any comments, I want to ask Claudia to come. And I want her to read off very quickly the members of the steering committee, because too often in history, you've heard about the Poor People's Campaign, the 6-8, and it'll say Dr. King's campaign. No. The first meeting, there were 25 people there. There were the Jewish community. There were clergy. There were welfare rights workers. There was Cesar Chavez. There was the Native First Nation community. And there were a lot of folk who weren't there. A lot of folk who backed away, particularly when he connected. So I want Claudia to come. I tease her about being a millennial among us. Now, she's just going to read one line on each person, because we all got these bios, but she's going to just give you the one line. You don't have to worry about Liz and I, because it's more important that people just understand the name and what group they represent.
How's everybody doing? Good. Good news. We're launching the new Poor People's Campaign in this context. Very necessary. I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Reverend Claudia de la Cruz. Originally from the South Bronx, one of the poorest congressional districts in the United States. Member of the Popular Education Project, and honored to walk with such amazing people and movement. The members of the steering committee are Aaron Scott, who's an organizer with Chaplains on the Harbor in Grays Harbor County, Washington.
Where's Aaron? Raise your hand, Aaron. All right.
There's R.L. McShirley, who's a lawyer with the North Carolina NAACP and has been involved in the struggle for civil and human rights for over 50 years. He also participated in the original Poor People's Campaign. Where's Al? He was also in the first meeting where some of the leaders gathered, and so talked to Al at the end. He has a lot of wisdom to share. There's Avery Book, who's vice president of the Vermont Worker Center.
Avery, where are you?
Catherine Flowers, who's executive director of the Alabama Center for Rural Enterprise in Lowndes County, Alabama. She's not with us today. Fernando Garcia, who's executive director of the Border Network for Human Rights based in El Paso in Texas. He's not here either.
We call them because they're here by the Spirit.
Yes. Justin Jones, he's a recent graduate of Fisk University and a leader of Moral Mondays in Tennessee.
Luis Rodriguez, who's co-founder and president of Tia Chucha's Centro Cultural and a former poet laureate of Los Angeles, California. Shali Gupta Barnes, who is one of the tri-chairs of the Souls of Poor Folk Audit and is part of the Cairo Center for Religions Rights and Social Justice at Union Theological Seminary. Shali. Ben Wilkins, Southern organizer for 5 for 15. Now you know that 5 for 15 is in the house. All right. I got you. We have Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove, who is co-founder of Red Letter Christians and director of Schools for Conversion, a nonprofit that pursues beloved community through work with kids in their neighborhood, through classes in North Carolina prisons and in community-based education around the country. Cherie Foytlin is the state director of Bold Louisiana, an indigenous writer, organizer, advocate, activist, photographer, and speaker who lives in Plaquemines Parish in South Louisiana. She's here in spirit. Reverend Dr. James Forbes is national minister of the Drum Major Institute and senior and pastor at Drum Center. Reverend Dr. Tracy Blackman, executive minister of Justice and Witness Ministries of the United Church of Christ. My Reverend Nelson Johnson is pastor at Faith Community Church in and executive director of the Beloved Community Center in Greensboro, North Carolina. Reverend Shauna Foster, who is board chair of About Faith, Veterans Against the War. Sister Simone Campbell is the executive director of Network, an organization founded by Catholic Sisters, which works to create a society that promotes justice and dignity. And so Detroit is also in the house. And its legacy. Marriott Kramer is national co-president of the National Welfare Rights Union and a leader of the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization. Maureen Taylor has served as chair of the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization since 1993 and has spent her life fighting against the war on the poor. She's with us in spirit all day, every day. Ross Palace, over here, is the executive director of Repairs of the Breach, and she is just amazing. She's been fighting poverty for 40 years along the side of the poor. I'm not going to get in the middle of this.
Maybe she's a strategic alliance.
That could be problematic. Panda Hare is the legal director of Forward Justice, a law, policy, and strategy center dedicated to civil rights, racial justice, and social and economic change in South Carolina. Gina Belafonte was born and raised in New York City and has spent her life in the arenas of entertainment and activism. She's right here.
Oh, there she is.
She is one of the co-directors of Sankofa.org. Rabbi Sharon Boris is a senior and founding rabbi of Ikar, which launched in 2004 with the goal of reinvigorating Jewish tradition and practice and inspiring people of faith to reclaim moral and the prophetic voice. And that is the steering committee of the New Poor People's Campaign. All right.
I also want to mention that for the media that as we move toward the through this press briefing, you know, there were a lot of people that weren't with the First Poor People's Campaign, but I want you to know that we have also here today, and they will have remarks covering us at the end, the Reverend Dr. Terry Horde Owens, who's a general minister and president of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Reverend T. Denise Anderson, who's a co-moderator of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church, Rabbi Jonah Pressner, director of Religious Action Center of Reformed Judaism, and the Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, president of the Unitarian Universalist Association, and the Reverend Susan Henry Crow, on behalf of the Reverend Harriet Jean Olson, General Secretary of the United Methodist Women. And you've already heard from Reverend Tracy Blackman, and we'll also hear from the Reverend Dr. Alvin Jackson and Mary Kay Henry with FCIU. I want to, and there are others that we will call in a minute. In fact, I want to do this even now, because it is important, because too often people will say in history such and such a person led the movement, but really what we do is serve movements. So I want, first of all, the organizers like Robin Tanner and Clinton Wright and all the others who are here, where's Laurel, and they're around. But if you're organizing, just raise your hand. Raise your hand with the, and others are coming on. Now, for those that are on the Zoom, we want folk to know that this is a movement from the bottom up. The way we did this is we built from the bottom up. We went into the states. We spent a whole year in 2016. Dr. Forbes, myself, Reverend Tracy Blackman, Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris, and Sister Simone traveling the country, seeing where the heartbeat of people were. We just